August 23rd, 2008, the Norris Group is hosting the event I Survived Real Estate 2008 at the Nixon Library in Yorba Linda, California. Proceeds from the event will benefit the Orange County affiliate of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure. The event seeks to bring together the real estate community, including realtors, auctioneers, investors, mortgage professionals, economists, data providers, and builders to discuss how we got here, how the respective industries are changing, and how we move forward and prosper together in 2008 and 2009. The event would not be possible without the generous help of the following partners: the San Diego Creative Investment Association and President Bill Tan, the Investors Workshops of Orange County and President Sean Watkins, Fry Wiles, the web development, internet marketing, and creative design firm helping launch the event site isurvive2008.com, Proxibid, who will be airing the event live over the internet for those unable to attend live, the Nixon Library, our good friends at MVT Productions, who always take care of our audio-video needs, and White House Catering, whose master chef will be providing the three-course meal for this black tie event. The following radio interview is in preparation for the live event.
Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
This is Carl Angeloff, host of the Carl Angeloff, nationally syndicated Carl Angeloff Bottom Line Program, and we have as our guest today Bruce Norris. Now, if you don't know who Bruce Norris is, by the end of this program, you will be most impressed by who we're talking to and what we're talking about. And we're talking about a subject that I guarantee, money-back guarantee, that everyone listening has been talking about whenever they're thinking about it by themselves and talking about it with whomever they're with, at the kitchen table, at the dinner table, out to lunch, at the bar, having a drink, I don't care. And what we're talking about is real estate. Now, Bruce Norris is the CEO of a firm in Riverside, the Norris Group. He's known for a lot of things, and we'll get into that. Now, Bruce, welcome to the program.
Carl, thanks a lot.
All right. Now, you had I won't say a checkered background, but a different background. And you got involved in real estate, and why and how, very briefly.
I was a salesman that sold electrical materials to hardware stores, and I didn't really do anything with real estate other than buy a home. I was invited to go to a meeting with somebody that was going to discuss a foreclosure problem with the owner. I went there, and in about 10 minutes, we were thrown out for making an offer that was not acceptable. I recognized that the person that owned the house had actually wanted to sell the home probably 5 minutes before the offer was presented. I said, I think if you'll let me knock on the door, I can smooth it over and get us back in. Long story short, we bought the house, and I decided that was something I could do. So got a license and bought 10 houses the first month I was in the business and never looked back.
Whoa. You made him an offer he should have refused, but he didn't.
No, actually, in that particular case, they would have lost the house if they hadn't accepted it.
Well, there you are. All right, fine. All right. A couple of years ago, in fact, 2006, you wrote something, and it was entitled The California Crash. You predicted the current real estate downturn. Why and how were you so prescient at that time?
You know, as an investor in 1989 and 90, I didn't see the downturn coming. I built seven custom homes, started them in 89, got done with them in 1990. They were in Palm Springs. We were trying to sell those properties for 3 years before I got rid of them. That was kind of painful. Mm. And then in 1995, I bought a car for my son who graduated high school, Aaron. I paid $15,700 for the car. I bought a house the next couple of days for $13,300. And it scared me. And I realized, you know what? I don't understand why we transitioned from a boom market to a bust market. So I started studying the subject, seeing if I could figure it out. I wrote a report in 97 predicting the boom. the crash was produced in 2006. And to be honest with you, it's just a repeat process. And we're pretty good at looking the tea leaves now, whether it's an up cycle or a down cycle. We can look at certain statistics and say this is the likely outcome in advance. And that's such an advantage to know what's coming instead of getting smacked by it blindsided.
And you really base it on what has been and historical knowledge. And, you know, there was a Spanish philosopher, Santayana, who said that if we don't learn from history, we are doomed to repeat history. And that's what you're trying to not do.
That's right. It's very financially painful to keep on making the same mistakes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, the government has passed a bill. Let's see. It's H.R. 3221, a bill that will provide $300 billion to people in danger of losing their homes. Tell us about that and what do you think about it?
You know, I think the intent is great. What they want to do is basically have FHA in a position to offer cash for people that are in the homes, a short sale. So let's say a lender is owed $400,000. The house is now worth $200,000. FHA is going to be able to pay the lender $180,000. The people won't lose their home. They'll stay in the home. It sounds like a great idea. Problem is a couple things. Human nature, if I'm living next door to that guy, and let's say I don't have one of the loans that meets the right criteria, and this neighbor of mine goes from owing $400 to owing $180, and I owe $400, but it's the wrong type of loan, I just might not like that very much. Mm-hmm. And my house might be worth $200,000 too. I may just decide to add to the foreclosure problem and walk. And in California, there's no recourse for the lenders if I do that. So the lenders takes a big loss. So they're going to solve a certain number of foreclosures. There's no doubt about that. My problem is I think they might be duplicating the inventory by the guy next door. So you're not solving it. I think you're probably recreating a bigger problem.
Always. I don't know why it is, but whenever government gets involved in things like this, they always mess it up. Much worse than if they had just left it alone and let the market do it. Nobody's as smart as the market.
Right. The market definitely will take the price down to where it needs to be, and that will have repercussions. And that they're trying to stop those natural repercussions from happening, and I think they may be, in fact, creating a bigger problem.
All right. We're now in 2008, and we've heard, and I've heard, I'm sure everyone listening has heard, a variety of different prognostications about, well, it'll be over pretty soon. By the end of the year, it'll be fine. As soon as the election is over, and what do you think about 2008 or whatever? When do you think this is going to be turning around, or how?
It turns around with a series of charts improving, and we're quite a ways from that improvement. We need to have migration come back into the state. And our job picture is just starting to turn negative. So we're going to lose migration because people are going to lose their jobs. Our unemployment is going to go up. People are going to go to other states to find work. And that's the dominoes that fall toward the end of a downturn. 2008 and 2009 are going to see an ever-increasing avalanche of foreclosure property coming into the market. So much so that the number of foreclosed homes is going to double the amount we're selling in any given year, 08 and 09. You just simply can't have a positive market until we get through that. I think 2010 will be a fairly flat market, and I think our first year of a recovery will be 2011.
You know, I remember vividly in 77 and 81 and around 90, I think, or 89, whatever it was, that prices began to fluctuate down a little bit, but they were gradual. Now, this downturn, as we might euphemistically want to refer to it, happened so quickly. Bruce, why all of a sudden?
Yes, this is a record-setting pace. It's sort of like we've had a downturn on steroids. The downturn between, let's say, 80 and 84 was pretty benign as far as price hit. The downturn between 90 and 96 was more severe, but very gradual. It happened at a very measured pace over a period of 5 or 6 years. We've literally taken the same hit in 8 months as we did in 6 years. And that is because the avalanche of foreclosures came so quickly, and the people were allowed to borrow money so generously. So they got into loans they should have never been able to qualify for, and they were able to qualify for them because there was no qualification.
Yeah. And people thought, well, who cares? The prices are going to continue to go up. No matter what I pay for it, doesn't matter. Well,
well, you know, and that's, you bring up a very good point. People's attitude gets very lax during a boom.
Sure.
And if they're new, if they've never seen a downturn, they just think that what they're experiencing is normal. A normal market wasn't 97 through 2006. It was the greatest boom we've ever seen. But if that's all you know, then you get lulled to sleep thinking, well, I can borrow $700,000 on a one-bedroom condo and it'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, now, this is going to take a little bit of time. I hope it won't take the rest of the program, but you're in a business, and I think it's time to let the people know how they can reach you, how they can get in touch with the Norris Group. Why don't you tell them now before we go on to the next subject?
Okay. It's very easy. You can go to the website, www.thenorrisgroup.com. Our phone number, 951-780-5856. And
again,
951-780-5856.
That's a 909 area code.
951.
And I'm sorry, that's right.
Yeah, they changed it.
Yeah, they changed it. All right, 951. All right. Tell us about your business and tell us about you and tell us how you can help someone who does call in.
You know, basically our clientele are investors that buy property below market and resell it and make a profit or keep it and have a positive cash flow rental. Our business model basically starts with our own ability to buy wholesale deals. So in the last 60 days, we've bought 24 houses. We have paid the lenders about 31 cents on the dollar of what they were owed. And so that leaves us a margin to fix it and resell it. So that's our basic business model.
This is an interesting point. Let me interrupt you. You have paid them 30 cents on the dollar of what they owed, but that isn't the price of what the house was previously selling for just a year ago.
Well, I'll be honest with you, the what they owed and what the sale price was a year ago is almost the same thing, because a lot of people were putting no money down. So yeah, the loan amount and the sale price was very similar.
Okay.
The price destruction has happened very quickly. Now, let's say we just bought one, $400,000 loan on a $400,000 house. That was about July of 2006, that loan was placed on the property. We just bought that home. It has a pool for $95,000. Is it worth $400,000? No. Is it worth probably $220,000? Yeah. And it needs $40,000 worth of work. So that's really our business model. We take that fixer-upper. We get a really good deal on it, but we have to have the skill to be a general contractor, put it in great shape, resell it, make a buck, go to the next one.
And guess what, folks? It doesn't take too much of a skill to become a general contractor. Well, if you went to Bruce's seminars, if you got in touch with him, you'd learn very quickly how to do it. Now, you have to buy it right. And you know that what the old saying in real estate is, that you make your money when you buy.
That's correct.
You receive your money, you get your money when you sell. But you make the money when you buy. Now, how do you turn it around, and who is your typical buyer?
In this market, the typical buyer probably is one of two people. It's a first-time buyer who didn't participate in the craziness of the last boom. They maybe were too young. They were in college. They just got married. So this is a brand-new buyer right out of the box, good credit, but maybe not a lot of down payment. So it's very common that they're going to use an FHA loan, and they don't have a property to sell. That's probably the number one buyer type. We also have buyer type number two, and in the rare instance where they got afraid of the prices being too high, they actually might have sold a property in 05, 06, 07, and they had cash on the sideline. So we find that some of those buyers are just waiting for this really great property and have money. And so they put down pretty substantial money to get a loan. And so that's another buyer. We just did an auction today on a house that we didn't want to fix up. And it sold for all cash. We didn't know that, but the gentleman had to put down a 10% deposit to bid. And at the end of the bid, he wrote a check for the balance of what the final bid was. So there are people out there with dough, and there are people out there that don't have big down payments that the FHA loan program is able to take care of. One of the big things that they've changed, and this is that H.R. 3221 has a lot of good points to it as well. It changed permanently the loan balance able to for Fannie and Freddie and FHA. So you get an FHA loan now up to $625,000. That means 3.5% down, about $22,000 down. You can get a $600,000 house as long as you can qualify for the monthly payment.
As long as you can qualify.
Right.
But at your prices, because you bought them at right and you're selling them really at almost, I don't want to say, below, well, maybe you are selling them below market, but you're selling them at a market price or at a price where the market can afford it and that the loaner will loan on it. And, you know, it's easy enough to get a loan if the price, I mean, the property qualifies. All right. There are a variety of different homes. There's single family. There's condominiums. There's multi-units and that sort of thing. What would you consider to be a typical type of a home that you're interested in and that your buyer would be interested in?
That's a great question, and that answer changes depending on the economy that we're in. The economy we're in right now, we have a very small box of inventory we play with. If we're in an aggressive real estate economy like 2004 and 5, we can touch anything and it would work. If it had a front door, it didn't have a front door. If it was a mobile home on a dirt road in Timbuktu, it still would work. That's not true today. So our model says we want to buy 1,000 or 1,100 square foot up to 1,900 square feet. We want it to be in a reasonable age so where it has stucco, not wood siding, and not the 30s and 40s, unless it was the type of inventory you'd find in South Pasadena where every house is really well taken care of and that's the dominant age. We don't want anything that's 4,000 square feet in an area that's a little bit remote. We just want the first-time buyer inventory. And when we fix it, we make it the nicest house there is in the area. So literally when people walk in, they're astonished at what they're looking at. That's what we want. We want somebody to go, holy mackerel, this is nice. Because I want to get that top price. Because I want that top price to exist. If we don't have that price established and there's a lot of lender-owned properties, pretty soon that low number will be the number. Mm-hmm. That doesn't help the city at all. The city needs, and we all need, a retail number and a wholesale number. So if you fix it, you get this. If you don't fix it, then it's only worth this.
You're right. Okay. Now, that's a typical house that you like to buy.
Yes.
What would you not consider in this kind of a market? What type of property would you not consider?
You know, the answer is very common sense, and that's what's so nice about this business. It boils down to having common sense. So you ask yourself, okay, what would be my druthers? Would I rather own a condo or a house? Probably a house. Would I rather own a mobile home or a house? I'd rather own a house. Would I rather have a pool or no pool? We go through a series of questions, and we try to buy inventory where it's always that would be my druthers. I'd rather not have to cope with a busy street behind me, a postage-sized building lot. I'd rather not have a flat roof. All of these things go into our consideration when we buy something, saying, how are we going to get rid of this in a down market? We better have a property where all the green lights are on. The location, that's fine. School's fine. Doesn't have high wires over the roof, all those things. Then we have a guy that at least show up with his family and say, I think we ought to look at this house. And then when he goes in, if we have a superior product, we'll have a sale. You get in big trouble getting good deals on bad inventory in a downturn.
Yeah. It's interesting you didn't mention, but in a previous conversation you and I had, you brought up something that you don't like to buy, and it literally surprised me, if not shocked me. And that is, I grew up, and I over these many years, over these many decades, I was always told to buy a corner house. That was always the prime property. And you say, no. Why?
Well, first of all, my son Greg has, we do have a couple of those in inventory.
Right.
So we're going to figure out if I was right or he's right. But at any rate, you know what? You're always learning. Here's what we have figured out. And the market basically told us this. Greg actually brought me out to his neighborhood and said, Dad, look at this. This is what's going on in my neighborhood. So he lived in a very nice neighborhood. Every foreclosure was a corner lot house.
Jeez.
And their asking price while they were for sale but couldn't sell was something like $70,000 less than inventory that went pending that was inside the normal block. And he said, what do you think of that? I said, that's amazing, because I am like you. We've been trained by builders to pay a premium for that lot.
Exactly.
Well, that was in my head. They must be right. That's more desirable. As it turns out, people on corner lots get robbed more often. They get bugged more often. They get cars driven through their house or their fence. And they also, and this is something I, because I was interested in the subject, they have 80% more carbon monoxide in their homes because of being in that location.
Yeah. That many more cars pass by
because
they're in a corner. And also something about the vulnerability to robbery.
Yeah. They get robbed more often. So, Diana, who's in our office, had mentioned to me that she had been robbed while she was in a corner lot 3 times.
Oh, geez. Okay. Now, it was amazing. You surprised me, if not shocked me. All right. Is there something that can be done? I mean, there's a variety of things. All of a sudden, we have everyone who just coming around and telling us what we should do. And everybody has an opinion. Now, I trust your opinion more than, and I've listened to so many of these commentators on television, especially on the Cavuto show. What can be done in a very short time that we have left to fix this problem?
I can tell you that the solutions that they're coming up with right now are headed down a road that won't solve it. We went to about 70% of the households being owned by people that own their own home. That's way higher than normal. It's usually about 63. So we let about 7% of the population own homes that maybe shouldn't have done so. A lot of them are going to lose the homes. They're going to go vacant. We're trying to solve it by finding some other owner-occupant to take their place while we're reining in the rules of lending. That's not going to occur. Plus, we just had hundreds of thousands of people go have a foreclosure on their credit. So the likely scenario is you're going to have lots and lots and lots of vacant homes. At the same time, we're making the lending rules tighter for investors.
Yeah.
We need to let loose with that. We need investors to be able to buy the properties, fix them up. That will help society not have vacant houses all over the place. You see the result. You and I were just sharing an article where properties in Detroit are selling for a dollar. That's because an investor didn't see an economic feasibility of buying that, fixing it up, and selling it for a profit.
Yeah, really.
There's too many of those homes. California has a glut. We solve it by handing that to an investor, having them fix it up, bringing it up to a level of the best house in the block, and then either renting it or reselling it. That's the biggest thing we need to do.
All right. Very quickly, we don't have very much time left. There's an event that's going on the 23rd. What is your goal for that event? Tell us about the event.
It's to raise funds for the Susan G. Komen Research for Cancer. The purpose of it is also to have a lot of the heads of the businesses, from the builders, the lenders, the auction business, and top economists, put our heads together and basically come up with some solutions. We all know we're in the soup. We got a problem.
Sure.
Let's put our heads together and say, what if we did this? What if we did this, as a matter of fact, together? Could your industry help my industry? The suggestion I just made, that would help investors, but it would help everybody at the same time.
All right. Now, tell us very quickly how and where it's going to be and how to reach you and how to attend if we wanted to attend.
It's at the Nixon Library, August 23rd. You go to the website, thenorrisgroup.com, and there's a click on I Survived 2008, and it'll take you through the process.
Yeah. All right. We've got a couple of minutes left, so we're almost, look at that. Isn't that wonderful? Bruce, it's been a pleasure again to be with you. And ladies and gentlemen, I have spent time with Bruce on a variety of different formats and venues, and it was always a pleasure. Bruce Norris, head of the Norris Group in Riverside. Again, your phone number, Bruce?
951-780-5856.
And this is Carl Angeloff, host of the nationally syndicated program, Carl Angeloff's Bottom Line program, wishing everyone listening blue skies and green lights.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.